Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Well, we just were talking colour and we sprung it on ourselves. Hi, everyone.
I know. We're talking about homemade merch. I love homemade merch, actually. Like, I'm a big fan. I saw some fabulous homemade... Well, it's not even really homemade. Lee
Smith Gibbons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ebbs, the hand-drawn
t-shirt. She's the queen of it.
Oh, gosh, so good. Let's bring it back, I say. Yeah. Let's bring back the home. Actually, Hamish Parkinson did a limited run of some great screen prints of, I can't even remember what the project was. I got it. I mean, I love merch.
Yeah.
For the record.
We're talking about it because one of our guests is wearing a cool...
Correct.
Julia Jacklin sweater. So we're going to finish this with some Julia Jacklin. So,
yes.
This,
excellent. I love it. Yes. We're not talking into the void. Obviously, we're joined by guests. We've got Rhianna and Molly from Mother is a Daughter is a Mother, which is a new work by Rhiannon, who's coming to the Basement Theatre in the studio opening this week. Very exciting to have you both in the studio. This work actually had a life previously before this season. So this isn't the premiere season, but you had a workshop season. I was reading the reviews on it, and do you know what's really hard? When you do work that has multiple dimensions to it, text and dance, like choreographic movement and experimentation with form and all sorts of things, it can be really hard to talk about it. Like, where do you even start? Where do you even begin? As an audience member, where's your access point? But the review, which was by Jennifer from Rats. I don't know what the publication is. Anyway, the reason I'm name dropping her is because we need to keep theatre criticism alive here in Aotearoa, RIP. Where I was getting to is she was talking about how like the work tenderly sort of navigates that text and experimental form. So Rhiannon, the work is about an exploration of being a daughter, being a mother, both of those things. They can exist concurrently. Talk to me about where that exploration sits for you in your practice. Is this sort of a theme or ideas that you've been rolling around with?
Yeah, definitely. I think kind of the thesis of the show centres around creating and destroying and how that becomes a circular sort of work of catharsis in itself.
Yes. Ooh, that's tasty. Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting you say catharsis, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in the original use of catharsis, of that word, it sits within the kind of Greek theatre kind of thing. We need this, and we're sort of maybe performance or theatre is aligned more with a practice, a social practice that goes beyond just like rich people going to a black box and like throwing money at a stage, right? Like it
totally.
Actually, yeah. So this is interesting that you use that term. You come from, what you were saying before out there, you've had, you're sort of multidisciplinary artist, but I also sort of like an anti-disciplinary artist. Can you talk to me about what that means?
Yeah, I don't know, I just like to straddle everything and
yes.
Like that makes it kind of messy and tangled and yeah, I use a lot of different genres and yeah, I come from a visual arts background, so that's,
I see.
You know, the aesthetics have got to be really like juicy for me and that's a huge like central part of the work. That's centered around art making and physically painting and
wow,
literally creating a canvas.
Yes,
yeah.
Which is a gorgeous analogy for being a mother or being
totally.
And being a daughter, I guess as well. Molly, you're do you say you're a performer in this experience, or what do you call a facilitator? What's your kind of what would you say is your role?
Yeah, performer in it, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, it's. Normally, outside of this, I would describe myself as an actor, but this work is sort of outside of that.
Mm.
It's, you know, sort of movement-based and definitely not playing sort of one character throughout it. It's
yep.
a lot more fluid with that. So, yeah, I guess performer.
Yes.
Covers it. Yep.
What has been the experience for you in a process that is maker-driven, that has Rhiannon, who's been inside this work before, and you're I guess you're taking the director role for this show.
For ease of names. Yeah.
It's a funny, I mean, it is funny when you sort of like explode out the form. You're like, well, you mean what even is theatre? Molly, what has the experience been like for you to be in this where presumably you're making offers and shaping as it's not just like, here are your lines, this is a rehearsal process. So, yeah, talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly collaborative. It's very creative. We started with this text that Rhiannon had written from the last iteration of it, and basically just made a bunch of movement that came from just the themes of the piece. Mm. So it's been a really beautiful devising process of having this text to work with, but then us as cast being able to just offer up our movement and then Rhiannon sort of shaping that. Yeah, it's been super creatively fulfilling.
Ooh, that's... You want to hear that. You want to hear that when you're inside any process that's creatively fulfilling. I've been... Guys, to my embarrassment, and I don't know why I'm embarrassed about it. I've been picked up my The Artist's Way for about the 17th... thousandth yeah. time, which is, you know, interesting that we are talking about in relation to this work, actually, because there's something about creative fulfillment that I think is so special and some might even align to some kind of spiritual calling. Rhiannon, talk to me about what, in the exploration of that, what are some of the things that might be expressed that people might encounter coming to watch it? Is it all like being a mother is beautiful and seductive and romantic? Like what, or are you actually breaking that open? Tell me, like what's the vibe?
What's the vibe? Yeah, I mean, it's certainly the aim is to provoke conversations around that. Mm. I think a lot of it has to do with like societal roles, feeling hemmed in and how to antagonize that. Mm. It's also pretty hot. It's a pretty hot show because like bodies are hot and like bodies are also kind of spooky and sci-fi and there's a lot of, we spend a lot of time on like the philosophy of it and really building this like womb world and then totally just destroying it at the same time.
Ooh.
So there's so much in there. There's a lot in there.
Yeah. Do you know, I think it is interesting because sometimes I think people are quite precious about this world of like this exploration of mother-daughter. And I think it does sometimes lack a kind of explosive, antagonizing kind of quality, which makes for very... And look, there's discomfort for an audience, I think, too. But we have to do it. We can't... treat it with this sort of, I think treating it as I'm sort of alluding to doesn't help us, I think, to really actually understand and wrestle with some of these ideas. Molly, for you, what would you, like, who would you want to perform this work or to perform this work for? Who is it for you?
I mean, I think like mothers is the first sort of
moms.
Answer.
Mom. Yeah. Are you a mother yourself?
I am not a mother.
Oh, so that's quite cool.
I'm a daughter.
Yeah, exactly, right? You are. Yeah. So you can explore with abundance in that yeah. space and offer that. So mothers, and is that is there a particular kind of mother that you're like?
Well, I mean, I think probably like creative mothers would probably yes. be particularly attuned to it. But I also like, for example, my stepfather is coming and he's a 7-year-old dairy farmer. So I think it'll be, I really hope that it, I think it does have something for everybody in there, yes. in that there's a lot to be taken from it, whether you are a mother or a daughter or you have relationships to women and mothers and daughters.
Yes.
Because we're just sort of exploring it in a pretty like wide arena, uh-huh. which is, yeah, so I think...
Many access points,
yeah,
I'm assuming.
Yeah, exactly.
Rhiannon, for you, do you make your work for someone in mind or do you sort of make and see who turns up?
I'm super anti-audience, actually, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, great.
You know, like make it because you have to make it or because you know, you are feeling something and you... or you're around amazing people to connect with.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly I'm coming from a place of anti-audience, but I don't know, like I really want people to see this.
Yes.
I really think we've created something really special and sexy and there's like bugs in it and
oh, wow.
there's a microwave, you know, there's some cool,
yeah.
there's some cool happenings, yes. You know?
Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah. I love that. I love this anti-audience. Like,
hey, that's me.
Yeah. Hey, I'm an audience. Yeah, well, F you. I love this. But, you know, look, sometimes it's important to make for yourself and for the others, and then if you book them, they will come. I don't know. There's something kind of... You got to put the art in the universe and then the right people come, I think.
Yeah.
There's a new... movement that's not very anti-audience, which is Choose What You Pay, which I notice you're doing.
Yes, which is excellent.
Can you tell us about Choose What You Pay?
Yeah, that's not very anti-audience, is it? That's like pro-audience.
It's like, come in, knock down those walls.
I'm so, I'm
maybe you're pro-audience once the show's made.
Yeah.
Is that
indeed,
fair to say?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we just wanted to make it accessible as possible. Just make it
easy.
It's
cool.
I've
been to
a
couple of those before, and there's a really good feel about it. Like, you know, you're not getting, there's no possible way to feel ripped off or like, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
You're like, I'm investing in this.
Yeah. You're setting the meter.
I think that changes the relationship an audience has to a piece of artwork because, you know, theatre, we suffer from this sort of transactional sort of relationship to our viewer, which is like, I'm paid a ticket, so therefore I'm owed something. I will sit in the dark, you will sit in the light, you will entertain me, et cetera, et cetera. This is really, so this is sort of changing that or challenging that in a soft way because also people don't necessarily always want to feel challenged. They're just like, I just want to buy a ticket, which is fabulous. Long live socialism in the theatre in Auckland. We love. So Choose What You Pay. The show, Mother is a Daughter is a Mother. I love that title. I'm like, that title takes... That's got to be the best title we've come across in stage direction in a really long time. 100%. It's in the studio at the basement. Gorgeous space. Gorgeous little studio setup. We love it. It's intimate.
Nice ceiling.
You can change
studio.
It. You can move it. We love just the wooden polished floor bit and the architecture it speaks when we're making, which is fabulous. We're looking forward to seeing it. It's only three shows of it, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, this week. So if you want to go, you've got to bloody get your ticket. Opening night almost sold out, so you really have to get in for Friday, Saturday. It's a 6:30 show as well, which I love because we love an early show. As a mother, I will say, it's also quite good because, you know, I mean, although my daughter's at the age where she still needs boob to fall asleep, so I'm not going to any shows at the moment. But, you know, like the principle of it, love it. 6:30 show. So go to basementtheatre.co.nz to book your tickets. Thank you both so much for coming in. Looking forward to this. This is a three-hander, so it's not just Molly on stage. You'll see three performers exploring this territory.
Yes, it's me and Jess Bennett and Kate Laidler.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Nice.
See, there's something about the basement and the studio, in particular the studio, it's so nice to see shows there. So, like, even if you weren't even listening properly during this segment, go.
Just go.
Right?
Like, you've got to go. The basement studio has a special place in my heart. I made a show there once, and as a result, Brad Little out there, shout out, the best lighting designer ever. He was the one that installed the bars up the top. And Gabby Vincent, who was the program manager at the time, said, you can do it as long as you paint the ceiling afterwards. So we did.
Oh, nice.
So thanks to Brad Gliddle for installing those bars. Otherwise, we'd just be doing lots of side lighting in there still.
I was going to start feeling left out, thinking I hadn't put a show on there, but I have done one comedy show there.
Oh, there you go.
And Reese Mathewson played air bongos for 9 minutes. It was great.
I'd pay money to see that again.
Well, look, don't worry about that. Spend your money on this show.
We might do
better.
That.
Yeah.
That could actually still happen. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much. I guess we'll do the little outro and then I'll play, as promised, some Julia Jacklin adjacent. This is I'll play some Fantastic Furniture because I love what she's doing. All right. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And you, Alice.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.